cry to God is such an underrated action. It is potent and should not be so neglected. Let's look further into the distress of the psalmist in verses 3 and 4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Here are the first evidences of what is causing him to be so perplexed, and the first evidences of what he needs from God. We see here that he has a concern about God passing judgment on man. There is a realization that he is an offense to God, and that the men around him as a people have a very serious problem. He is given a clear understanding that he is a man of unclean lips, and he lives among a people of unclean lips. How desperate does he need that white hot coal of God to be pressed upon his mouth? He has been awoken to his need for forgiveness. And if you are new to this fact, or if you are being brought back to this fact, it can feel heavy and overwhelming. We walk around so clueless sometimes for such long periods of times, stacking up sins and neglecting duties, staying at the palace while the troops are fighting. We go about wasting time and living idle, and all the while, our insides are crumbling, and God, by his mercy, shows how empty it all is, and how meaningless all the scrolling is, and wasted time, and whatever else we do, until we are finally facing the fact that we are going to meet the judge, the one who forgives and the one who condemns. That is a person to be feared. Though we are not condemned as those who believe in God, because we believe in God, but we will face a judgment of a kind. Every idle word spoken, every minute wasted, and every good work. Often, in our depressions, in our sunkenness, in our depths, we worry about these things. Don't let it make you feel lonely. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. He was sent to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. These thoughts that come to you are from God, and the last thing we should do is be crushed by them. The problem many times is, instead of facing the Holy Spirit's instruction and conviction, we choose to ignore it. And it becomes different than a conviction. We begin to ignore the Spirit and veer off towards our enemy. It's like the story in Pilgrim's Progress of Christian walking with Hopeful through a beautiful meadow, where they were enjoying refreshments and abundant food, walking in the will of God, the holy way. But then the way gets difficult. Their feet get sore. Instead of staying the path and enduring the difficulty, Christian finds another path that also has beautiful meadows. But this one is called the bypath meadow. They become lost, and storms come, and life becomes very hectic for the two. They become weary from the route they chose to take and decide to nap, just to wake up to being in a dungeon of the doubting castle and captured by the giant despair, being starved and deprived of light and food and drink. They become weak, they fall into depths and feel as though they are done. Assurance is not a gift every Christian receives all the time. Not that we may lose our salvation, but there are some here that have hearts so tender and sensitive to their sin that they feel they are constantly disappointing the Father. Many of us go prolonged seasons feeling so dirty and lost and looking only to our sin and defilements that our assurance becomes dimmed. This does not need to be so, brothers and sisters. Christian and Hopeful were not doomed in the doubting castle. and under the giant despair. He did not move them to quit and take themselves. No, instead, they decided to pray and turn to God. Hopeful was present, and after praying in hope, they found the key of promise. So let's move on to the psalmist's hope in verses 5 and 7. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. 3 times does the psalmist say that his soul waits for the Lord. When we are in the cold darkness of the depths, we must tell ourselves that we need to just hold on and wait for the Lord. To wait in times like these does not come naturally to most of us. We feel these deep groanings, and we want to be relieved immediately. And in this day and age, there is a remedy for everything under the sun. A self-help book, a 12-step program, a new diet, smoke and drink, medicines. This world wants to give you an answer for everything. And if you don't have a question, you can Google keywords and the world will provide one for you. And when we despair in the depths, we don't like to wait. We like to run to this and jump to that. We want to find our strength now and be rid of these ugly feelings and thoughts and be freed from this heavy burden of your shortcomings and sins and failures. The point is that we are not accustomed to waiting, and the result is that we put our hope in things that may be good and they may be supplemental. But we shouldn't put our hope in them. We end up making these things the bypath meadow. And what happens is all these remedies that we put our hope in leave us unfulfilled, and we come crashing down harder than ever, waking up in the grips of the giant despair. Put your mind to this. Put your heart to this, that my soul waits for the Lord, and in his word, I hope. Please, brothers and sisters, put your hope in nothing else but God. We see the importance of not just running towards something to be relieved. We see in the psalm how we need to wait, and to wait in his word. But I feel it shows so much more than this in these verses, and how to wait in his word. 2 times it says, more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. This is how he waits. I imagine a military watchman is an amazingly stressful job. When you are in an area with regular battles and firefights, I would think that during nightfall, they are extremely attentive to the movements and noises in their watch area. And I can only think that they are longing for the morning to come, where everything threatening and dangerous is much easier to see. In the depths of your soul, when it feels like God's ear is not available to you, and his face is hidden from you, and your sins and failures are vivid and throbbing, we should wait for him with any zeal you may muster up, even in your exhaustion. The psalm really paints a good picture. A Christian watchman, he may start off fresh, not really fatigued yet, watching for the enemy, quick to sound the horn when your sin patterns begin to form, quick to call for the defensive formations when you see your fleshly triggers far in the distance, with the light of the Lord lighting up the plains, you can see it all. Nothing can encroach on your land. If only the whole war could be fought in these conditions. But now you find yourself in a pitch darkness, can barely keep your eyes open, and sin has been tormenting you and beating on you for hours. Brethren, keep your post, keep watch, and wait for the Lord in His word. In my 33 years of life, God has never forsaken me. He has never left me for dead. My Lord has never failed me in the slightest. You must just wait for His morning light. Now, moving to the last verses of this penitential psalm, we see some amazing things. 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. In the first two verses, we see the feelings, the depths, the cries of the psalmist. In verses 3 and 4, we see the understandings of the psalmist, seeing his iniquity in himself and of his people, understanding that he needs forgiveness from the judge over mankind. In verses 5 and 6, we see the actions of the psalmist, the waiting and the watching, the hope in his word, and the steadfastness of the tired soldier. But now, in verses 7 and 8, we see something flowing out from the verses before it. With prayerful hope, he has found the key of promise in his bosom to be released from the dungeon. And the promises of God to him seem to burst out of the darkness. Now, after sitting in the depths of sorrow, beaten by the clubs of sin, tormented by the tortures of guilt, his promises come and chase away all doubt and despair. After waiting for the Lord, a proclamation of hope is declared, and there is a steadfast love found in the Lord. That in your hunger and undernourishment, there is a plentiful redemption. Listen, my weak and frail sinners, God will redeem his people from their iniquities. The light of his promises will shine so bright for you when his morning comes that the black depths you are wallowing in will become just a canvas for the Lord to color his mercies on your life. The hope that the psalmist had looked forward to, we have the privilege to look back to. Blood has been spilled on your behalf, and Jesus has come to leave his mark on his people, and he will not forget or lose not one of them. We see here three lovely promises about our Lord that we have our hope in. He loves you with steadfast love. His sacrifice in Jesus has provided you with plentiful redemption that conquers over all sin. And in your failings and losses, he gives redemption. Whoever has loved you the most in your life, whoever has given you your sweetest affections, whoever has given you the deepest warmth you have ever felt, God loves you much stronger and truer, and he truly does love his people. Take your eyes off of this world. Take your focus off of yourselves. Only when you look to the Savior and relish in his promises, you will find the keys to the dungeon. Do not become undone in your depths. God will meet you down there. Allow the vine dresser from John 15 to prune you and cut you and pull you. Let our physician show you your conditions and open up your wounds. It is by this manner that he brings you into his full redemption. We were told that we would have tribulations in this world, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Do not let the worries of this world choke these wonderful promises out of your heart. If your marriage is messed up, or your children are rebellious, if you are losing your home, or even in your deathbed, all these places that the accuser loves to find us in, Do not be overtaken, because you have God and all of his promises in the Lord Jesus. What a time to be alive, church. We get to look at God clearer than all the ages before us. It has been revealed to us what his steadfast love looks like there, bloody on a cross. We have heard of his plentiful and abundant redemption throughout the pages of the New Testament and throughout the whole history of the church, of his church. We partake in the communion table that God himself has invited us to. So to remember the one who brought us our redemption. So no matter what else is happening around you and inside of you, take heart that Jesus is yours and you are his. Be still where he has you and trust and hope in his word and in his promises. Depression cannot separate you from the love of God. And being depressed surely does not make you lost and a faithless person. Your loneliness, your lowliness, and your tears are evidence that you are near God in this fading and passing world. Believe in his promises and wait for his morning, beloved. Amen.